Well, hallelujah. Well, are you blessed today? Hallelujah. Do you know the presence of the Lord? Hallelujah. Are you excited? Hallelujah. I pray that you're on fire today. So much has happened on this very special day with our missions report. By the way, if you would like to give towards missions, the ushers are standing by. To receive your offering if you had any intention of giving towards this work. It's such a tremendous work. I'm sure many of you remember how we obtained this land in Ghana. The Muslim chiefs, the clerics, when they saw the impact of the gospel and how it was impacting their villages and the people, they gave 20 acres of land to us so that we could build this facility on the property. And so now we've just completed the school and the building that was on the grounds. So there's going to be a church and a building in this. It's an all-Muslim area. If you know anything about northern Ghana, this is part of the 1040 window. And it's a part where a lot of people are afraid to go. In fact, when the teams first started going there, the people in the south told them it was dangerous to go up there and that it was not a place they wanted to go. And they couldn't even get anyone to take them up there in order to reach those communities. So they were dropped off a couple miles before the border of the Muslim territory, and they had to walk the rest of the way. And so that is how this ministry began, and many of you know my brother and my mother and were the ones who kind of got this whole thing off the ground, and God has been doing amazing things ever since. And I'm sure you guys have kind of been along for the journey, and it's been quite an accomplishment to be able to get this far and what God is doing. But what an awesome, awesome testimony. Did you enjoy that report? Well, praise God. And I hope that you're interested in missions. We support missions all around the world. We have teams that go all over, and there are ministry opportunities that are taking place everywhere from Russia. Well, not really going to Russia right now, but they were. Ukraine and other places, not there either, but there's stuff. There is stuff happening. We heard the report last month on Ukraine and what was happening there. But there is so much that we're a part of and that we're doing in Asian nations around the world, in South America, in the islands, different places. We are involved. Orange County Gospel Fellowship has its hands in ministry around the world. And what you are giving to is a powerful work that is bringing the gospel to places that we could never go on our own. But gathering together and working together with our fellow FCA churches and all that God has brought our way to be able to have as a resource, we're able to accomplish a lot of great things. And so I encourage you to give towards missions and to get involved in missions. And I know we have our missions today is the ministry fair. That's what I was looking for. And that is taking place outside. And I know Pastor Mihal has an announcement about that. What are you doing way over there? Come on. What are you guys doing? Well, hallelujah. Well, today we have our pastoral panel, and our theme is Great and Glorious God. And this year we are talking about God giving us a brand new start. We're in a new place, and we are headed in a direction that the Spirit of the Lord is leading us into as a church to win, build, and equip the saints of God for these latter days, for last days ministry. And in these last days, it is important for the church to be grounded, to be unified, and to be established, because it is going to be a haven. And if you think things are bad now, oh, wait until you see what else is coming. And I can assure you that the church is going to be an essential place. And it will indeed be a place of, will be a haven where people are going to need to come. The word of God says in the last days, men will be saying to the rocks, fall on us. Because it's so bad that people will want to commit suicide and just die. And so we are preparing for last days ministry. And that's what we are looking for each and every one here to be able to experience and to be prepared so that the gifts of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit can be manifested in your life so that you will be able to have a sound mind in last and evil days. And that is one of the gifts, right? Love, joy, peace, patience. You ever wonder why it says sound mind at the end? You say, well, you got it. You know, we're all Christians. Everybody has a sound mind. No, they don't.
Nope.
All right? And I think you're seeing that more and more, just how even the most educated people among us in this culture, in this society, have lost their minds. And it's insane to see it happen. And if you have eyes to see and ears to hear and you're listening to the language that's being used, you see where we're being steered. And I can assure you, if you're not grounded in the Word of God, you will be deceived. That's what the Word of God says. Even the very elect, if it were possible. And the only reason it's not possible is because those who are truly established in Christ will have eyes to see and ears to hear. And the Spirit of the Lord will give you revelation. And no one will have to tell you. You will just know in your very soul what not to do.
Hallelujah.
And what to
Amen.
Do. And that's what the Spirit of the Lord is giving, because now you cannot trust the media and you cannot trust government. You have to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, and it's only going to get worse. And that's why I'm challenging you to become people of the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Know
Amen.
The Word. Know the Word of God. Meditate on it day and night. And allow the Spirit of God to order your steps so that you can overcome the strategies of the enemy, those demonic strategies that are currently at work in our own society. And to those who can see, it's wow, is it blatantly, obviously clear. And I pray that you are able to overcome in these challenging times.
Thank you,
Hallelujah. Well, I believe you will. You wouldn't be here if you weren't going to overcome. So I pray that you dig in and involve. Pastor Michal, you have a...
Yeah, just quick announcement about the ministry fair. So if you are interested in any of the ministries that we have here, they'll all be represented at a table outside. But all the leaders, I guess, that are actually assigned to a table, it's just important that right after service, you make your way to the table. We just don't want to be the table to be left vacant and people standing there waiting to hear about the ministry. So
yes.
As soon as you finish, as soon as the service is over and you've been assigned a table, make your way to the table. All right?
Yes.
Praise God.
Praise God. Hallelujah. All right. Well, we're going to start off here. We have a video that we would like to show you just you'll see. Come on. This is not good.
Not that one.
Not that one. No.
We have people in the back who specialize in this very thing.
Hi, good morning. Welcome to Back to Church Sunday. My name is Elle Rodriguez, and I will be your host. And on my right-hand side, we have Sandra and Sean Williams.
Woo.
Thank you for joining us today. So with Back to Church Sunday, we typically like to just get to know our newest members on a more personal level and their experience the past year or so. So my first question is for Rachetta. I got to know you over the past year, and... you do have an interesting story. So my first question to you is, what sets us apart from the other churches in the area?
Well, what sets us apart at OCGF is that there's families, and it supports family members. It supports marriages, the children are here, and everyone is in unity. So you have several different families, and they're all together and unified, and everybody's worshiping together. I like how the families are taught to be unified and uplifted, and I think that's very important. And it's also reflected in Pastor's family, how he has so much unity within his family, and so that was very important. And for me, and even to have Jose come with me, you know, so that we would to bring us even closer as well.
Yeah, when I was listening to you, I'm thinking, you know that saying when you know, you just have a baby, and people say, oh, it takes a village to raise a child. I think of that when you mention that, because even though we're adults, but I think it still takes a village to raise us, right?
Sure.
Yeah, yeah. So that's well said. Thank you for answering that. So my next question is for Jose. Off camera, your wife tells me that she heard about our church and she wanted to scope it out first before you came.
Not necessarily leaders, they came to introduce themselves, they welcomed me, and just, again, that and the foundation of the word, you know, that this fellowship is, they're not just hearers of the word, but they're doers of the word. Mm-hmm. So they demonstrate the love of God through the word, according to what the scripture says, and it just came together in one complete package, and it made me feel welcome here. I knew that this was the place I wanted to be.
Praise God. My last question is, again, for both of you. Our theme for this year, Back to Church Sunday, is rooted. So my question is, why is it important to be rooted in the body of Christ?
What? It's important because the Bible commands us to not forsake the assembling of ourselves with the brethren. We bear each other's burdens. We pray for each other. If someone's going through something, you know, they're gonna, they can rest on the brethren. They can share what they're going through, and they can be lifted up through prayer. We can rejoice together when someone, you know, either gets a promotion or comes through a trial, the birth of a child. Like Richetta said earlier, it's just one big family. And again, as the word says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Again, we grow sitting under proper teaching. We grow in the scripture and understanding of the word and who God is, ultimately. That's why it's beneficial and it's necessary. And we're not on an island by ourselves in the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. It sounds like you're saying it gives us life to be here, to be together.
And purpose, too, I would say.
And purpose, definitely.
Yeah, and purpose.
So, at this time, we're going to take a short break. And when we get back, we will speak to Sandra and Sean. Thank you.
Well, hallelujah. Praise God. Just a couple of testimonies to reflect what people's experience has been in coming to our church, and we're excited at what God is doing, and we know God is doing things all around the world and certainly all around the area, and we are expecting God to move mightily in the midst of us.
Amen.
And to do powerful things, and God is already at work. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Well, today we are talking about great and glorious God, and how great and glorious he is. Amen. And our theme ultimately for this quarter has been that, and we have been talking about that throughout the summer, and God has really been giving me revelation as to what I need to do and how I need to align myself and make changes even in my life. And even all of us, as we are working together as the people of God, being able to hold on to that reality that God is great and glorious. Amen. And if he is great and glorious, he is worthy of our praise, and he is worthy of our worship. He is worthy of our service. Amen. And we ought, as the people of God, to be committed to that work. And Pastor Callahan here, Pastor Michal, we call him, was leading us in this area of the sowing of the seeds, as we talked about that in the month of July. And I'm going to turn it over to him for that. So,
all right, praise God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So, yeah, I'm just going to jump right into it, because you've already had a lot going on already today. So I'm going to go through it. It's not going to go through it quickly, but I'm definitely going to go through it all. You know what I'm saying? Because I believe the Lord has given me a good word today, and I just want to really share that with you guys, right?
Hallelujah.
So, you know, as I preached in July, it was about the parable of the sower of the seeds, right? And we all know that Jesus is the sower of the seeds. But I read it this time, and I've read it many, many times, but this time God opened it up for me. I just want to really share that once again, you know? And I think that this is really a central theme for each one of us as Christians, right? Whether you're coming back to church, whether you've been at church, whether it is that you're really trying to struggle with where God's leading or he's calling upon your life, this is a message for each and every one of us, right? Because I would encourage you to read in Luke, right, the chapter just before the actual the parable, because you see where Jesus was leading up to, and Jesus did nothing by mistake, right? So if you see all this, right, he heals a centurion servant, right? And he's showing now, Jesus is showing that he's doing things in a new and a fresh way. He's not doing things according to the old Jewish law, the way that the Sadducees and the Pharisees would dictate, right? And he raises a widow's son, right? These are all noteworthy things that have been new, right? And messages from John the Baptist telling John that he is the one, right? Jesus is establishing himself. And a woman with the alabaster oil, right? He's in a Pharisee's house, and she comes in and starts, you know, washing his feet. Number one, there's a woman touching Jesus, right, in a Pharisee's house, right, which is just unheard of, right? But Jesus rebukes the Pharisee and actually forgives the woman of her sins, right? Mm-hmm. Jesus showing us a new way, right? And then women accompanying Jesus, which, you know, we may not think much of today, but back in those days, that was not a thing that was normally done, where women would be a central part of the ministry. So I just wanted you to focus there as we read this parable once again, right? So let's read this in Luke 8, 4 through 15. It's not, the parable is said and then explained in 4 through 15. So when a large crowd was coming together and those from the various cities were journeying to him, he spoke by way of a parable, right? He said, the sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell beside the road, and it was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air ate it up. Other seed fell on rocky soil, and as soon as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it out. Other seed fell into good soil and grew up and produced a crop 100 times as great. As he said these things, he would call out, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. I read that same parable so many times, and there's so many little things I got out of it, so many different ways that you could actually apply that, even in our own lives as we walk with the Lord, right? Yeah. Whether it's to the unsaved, whether it's to the saved, all that. But, you know, Lord showed me a new revelation, and even as the disciples are hearing this, they're not sure of exactly what Jesus is saying, even in this parable either, because they have to go back and ask Jesus, well, what do you actually mean by this parable, right? Yeah. They would know of the sower, they would know of sowing the seeds, but they were trying to relate that to the actual message, and Jesus' message, and his walk, and everything that he was showing them, right? So his disciples began questioning him as to what this parable meant. And he said, to you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is in parables, so that seeing they may not see and hearing they may understand. And that's the first place we have to really, really look. As Christians, we can be going out there sowing seed, right? And looking to sow the seed. But we can't expect that everyone's going to have eyes to see. So we have to have love. We have to have patience. We have the heart to have the heart of Jesus towards each and every person that we encounter. And ask the Holy Spirit to be opening hearts, opening minds, opening eyes, right? So they would be able to see and they would be able to hear, right? And understand, right?
Amen.
And now the parable is this, he said. The seed is the word of God, which we know, right? But he says, those beside the road are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart so that they will not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky soil are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no firm root. They believe for a while, and in time of temptation, fall away. And the seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard, and as they go on their way, they are choked with worries and riches and pleasure of this life, and bring no fruit to maturity. I just want to kind of look at all of those three examples. And when Jesus is describing this to his disciples, he's describing it to a state of heart. If we go back even to before we were saved, even at times now, right? Each one of our hearts were in that different state, right? Whether it was rocky soil, whether it was thorns and the cares of the world were just choking out the things that God was doing in us. Even now as Christians, right? How many of us are walking our walk and God is giving us a clear message, but the devil is putting all these images around us and causing the cares and the concerns of the world to choke out the calling that God has upon our lives, right? And God is showing this to the disciples. He's not showing them this so that these people, these seeds that were sown in those areas would be cast away. But he's showing the disciples that they are going to be the church. And his desire is that they would minister to those very hearts. And that's our job. Coming back, you know, it fits so well with coming back to church, right? We need to be in this body. We need to be a group of believers who do not forsake the gathering of the body so we can be built up, so we can be encouraged, and we can go out and start to minister to all those who are in need, all those who have rocky, or have hearts that are in that rocky place, right? Or that dry and arid place, or that thorny place, right? Where all that, where the word of God is even being heard, right? Because it's evident in all of creation, right? But yet there is something that's blocking them from being able to see and something blocking them from being able to understand. And God's desire is that we would be that ministry, right? The ministers of God's word. We would be the sowers of that seed that would go out and look for those hearts and see, how is it, Lord, that you would use me to bring that heart from a place that's in a rocky, arid, dry place or a thorny place and bring it to a place where it is able now to accept the seed, right? Amen. And it is fertile and good ground, right? So that's the question we have to ask ourselves this morning. What is God calling for you to do? I know the calling God has on my heart, on my life. God wants each one of us to know what is the calling he has for each and every one of us in your lives, right? What is it? How is it? Every one of us that he called, every one of us that he chose, every one of us that he saved, he said he saves unto good works which were already set aside beforehand, right? So he has good works for you to do. He has hearts, he has souls, he has people in your sphere of influence that he wants you to reach, right? Yeah. And as we look at this, right, then it goes on, he said, but the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart. And I love that, because an honest and good heart, right? What is that? An honest and good heart. I didn't have an honest and good heart. And at times I question even now, is my heart, my true heart, honest and good, right?
That's right.
But with the power of the Holy Spirit, he can start to conform my heart, conform my mind, conform me. And as I gather together with the body and I start hearing testimony and I'm encouraged by what he's doing in each and every one of your lives, now I'm even encouraged all the more. I'm conformed and transformed even all the more. And my heart starts to become even more, right? A good and honest heart, right? And hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. And that's important, that perseverance, because we have to persevere. When we come into the kingdom of God, it is not so you can sit back and say, okay, I'm saved. I'm just waiting now to enter into the kingdom. You're already in the kingdom. You're in the kingdom. God wants you to work in the kingdom. Amen. He wants you to go out and make disciples of all nations, right?
Amen.
When we are called to make disciples, it's not just to go out and spread the gospel message. Making a disciple is showing someone what it is to follow Christ. Because that's what a disciple is. A disciple is not just one, somebody who believes. A disciple is one who forsakes all else and follows after his master, right?
Amen.
So when we make disciples of all nations, when Jesus gave us that command to go and make disciples of all nations, he desired for us, and his order was, live a life that I am showing you a life that I came to earth to exemplify for you, so that you can bring lives and hearts that are rocky, that are arid, that are dry, that are thorny, into a place where they are good soil, where they are ready to receive the word, where they are ready to produce fruit, right? And they yield a harvest 30, 60, 90 fold. So that's the encouragement this morning. And I just really want to finish with this, because I love the way that what Jesus did right afterwards, right? Just to punctuate to his disciples exactly what he was saying in that parable, right? And for us as we come after him, right? These are the things that he did, right? He said, do not. And no one who has a light, right, covers it up. But he puts it on a hill. He puts it on a lampstand. Let the Lord start to elevate your light, so that your light may be seen wherever you go. Not to your glory, Amen. But to the glory of God the Father, right? Yeah. And again, yes. Mother, brothers, and sisters, they were saying, your mother, brothers, and sisters looking for you. He says, who's my mother? Who's my brothers? But those who are in the kingdom of heaven, right? Hallelujah. Those who are pursuing after me. So yes, God is making a distinction. I'm not saying to forsake your family. Love your family. Love your family and continue to love them into the kingdom of God. But do not make a mistake that you love your family more than you love Jesus. Amen. Do not make a mistake of loving your family more than you love the calling that God has upon your life, right? And then he calms the wind and the sea, right? And that just blows my mind every time I look at it. Can you imagine the disciples hearing this message, seeing everything that Jesus is doing? Now he's giving me an example. He's saying, I'm in the boat. I'm going to the other side. What he wanted the disciples to do is, regardless of the wind and the sea and everything that was raging around them, have faith to know that they will get to the other side. Yeah. God is calling the same thing for us this morning. Have faith to know that if Jesus is in your boat, and if you are saved, Jesus is in your boat. Yeah. So let's forsake the question whether he's in your boat or not. Jesus is in your boat. If you are saved, Jesus is in your boat, so you are getting to the other side. Whatever the other side is, Jesus is going to get you there. You can rest. Jesus fell asleep. So you know how sure Jesus was. He knew the storm was coming. He knew the waves were going to be crashing around him. He knew the boat was almost going to sink. That might have been the very first submarine. Who knows? You know what I'm saying? Well, praise God. There was faith enough. You know, Peter walked on water. Who knows? That boat could have been the first submarine. Who knows? But Jesus said they were getting to the other side. And that's Amen. The same thing for us, right? Amen. You know, healing the demonic, right? Not just one demon, but a legion of demons, right? He was showing his disciples that nothing is impossible with the power that Jesus has. And that same power dwells in us. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you and is giving life to your mortal bodies. So don't hinder yourself. Don't hinder what God is trying to do in you. Allow the work of the Holy Spirit to just build in you. And to do that, you have to have that relationship with God. You have to have the fellowship of the saints. You have to have all these things working so that we can do that, right? And here, power going out of him, right? I love that. Jesus walking through the crowd. Everybody is pushing on him. This one woman touched him for a healing. She had faith enough to touch the hem of his garment for a healing. She was healed. And Jesus, he could have kept going. He could have kept going and realized she got her healing. But he wanted to make an example for his disciples. That he knew when power went out. Power never leaves Jesus by accident. You don't just touch Jesus and all of a sudden, the power that Jesus has and the power that Jesus harnesses is his alone. We do not own it. We do not yield it. Jesus yields it. But if we touch even the hem of his garments, he will send it out to us. And determinedly, for that, no matter who's pressing on him, he will know exactly who that power went out to. So it's not about just a general power. Jesus has a specific power for your life, for your situation, whatever it is that you're facing, right? And then raising Jairus' daughter from the dead. That was a punctuation. He showed them raising even Jairus' daughter from the dead. Even the dead can be raised, right? So that's the faith that we need to have. That is the vision that we need to have. That is the trust that we need to have in our Lord and Savior, no matter what you go through, no matter what it is that you're facing, that Jesus has the answer. Jesus is in your boat, and you will make the other side. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Row that boat, man. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, I love that because, you know, it's so important and it's amazing. People today are, you know, at Christians in particular, you know, everybody wants to be something in the church. But where you need to be something is outside. Outside, you know, right. And that's what a disciple is. Amen. You know, it's great. We have ministry in the church for the building up of the body, but it's not just for in here. It's what kind of person are you on your job? What kind of person are you at home with your family and your family members and your coworkers and your neighbors? And, you know, where is the power of God operating through you in those spaces? Because that's what we're all called to operate under, an anointing, the inspiration of the Spirit of God. Amen. And it's great to be in service of the Lord, but man, operate in the power of God when you go out. Let your husband and your wife see the power of God operating through you. Let your children, your coworkers, everyone see the manifestations of God, because that is who you really are. When you leave, everybody's a saint in here, right? They come in.
Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, God bless you, brother. Yes, the Lord be with you. Heaven smile upon you. Oh, yes. And then we get in the car with our family's like, didn't I tell you to sit down? Where are you going? And it's like a whole nother thing, you know, when you go outside, you know.
But that is the person outside riding in the car, interacting. That's the person God is trying to use to advance the kingdom of God. And that's the person that needs to come alive in the manifestation of the Spirit of God. And so, you know, all of these examples that you're presenting dealt with people who were dealing with different real life issues. Issues that we all deal with. We all deal with our identity or who we are in Christ. Amen. Know who you are as a Christian. Know that you are a child of God. Hallelujah. That is the most powerful title you can have. You are able to go out into the world and have an impact as the Spirit of the Lord works through you. And your brothers and your sisters are those who are likewise operating in the Spirit of God, who are a living witness to God. And that is when the power of God can flow. The Lord is with you. I love that. Absolutely. The Lord is in your boat, man.
Hallelujah.
Row that boat. Ben, you got that, brother? The Lord is in your boat. Hallelujah, brother.
There you go.
Get that boat going. Hallelujah.
That's the show. And, you know, it's important for people to understand, if you're going to wait to be a leader in the church before you start actually leading people outside, how are they ever going to get to the church?
Yeah.
Right? Because if you wait for a title, well, then you're doing the wrong thing. That's very much backwards. We need to ask Jesus into our life so that we can go out into the world for people to experience Jesus and understand why it is that the word says, do not forsake the gathering of the saints, not do not forsake the gathering of the leaders, right? Do not forsake the gathering of the saints. So each and every single one of us have a duty and a calling and a responsibility to go outside of the walls of the church, be the church, and bring the people into the house of God so that we can all worship together on one accord and give him praise.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well said. And with that, Pastor Raphael brought us into August, and we were talking about the living water and how God, he gives us living water.
Amen.
Water is the source and the root of all life.
Hallelujah.
And if it's alive, it needs water.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And I pray that we're all thirsty each and every single day so that God can give us that living water, right?
Yes. Yes.
I know it says that we'll never thirst again, but we need to consistently be drinking in order to never thirst.
That's right? That's
and
right.
So as we go into the living water, it brings us into Acts 4, beginning at verse 5. Don't worry, I'm not burning anything today. That was last time. All right? And in verse 5, it says, on the next day, the rulers and elders and scribes were gathered together in Jerusalem. And in verse 6, it says, and Annas, the high priest, was there, Caiaphas and John and Alexander and all who were of high priestly descent, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so this is when they actually have the followers of Christ. They have them in prison right now and realize that something big is about to happen.
Right.
Because if something big was not about to happen, all of these people would not be there. Right? And so we have to understand that even they recognize that something is about to happen. Saints, when God's about to do something, even the world knows. that something is about to happen. And in verse 7, it says, when they had placed them in the center, they began to inquire, by what power or in what name have you done this? And so now even the world recognizes that there was power. Saints, if the world doesn't recognize the power of God in you, I have news. He may not be there.
Hallelujah.
I said this last time. We're only here to give the truth. Am I right? I pray.
Yeah.
And so in verse 8, it says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people. It says Peter filled with the Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
Saints, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit before we speak on behalf of God. Amen. If we're about to go do something big, you need God in your life before you do it. Too often we just go forth and we just, all right, I got a plan and I got a purpose and I'm going to go do it. Better not do it without Jesus.
That's right.
Because you're going to be in for a rude awakening.
Yeah.
And it says if we, in verse 9, if we are on trial today for a benefit done to a sick man as to how this man was made well, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by this name, this man stands here before you in
Hallelujah.
Saints of God, the name of Jesus is able to bring healing to your body. The name of Jesus is able to bring liberation in your life. The name of Jesus is able to provide the things that you need before you even realize that there is something you need.
Hallelujah.
Because at the beginning of it all, what we need to understand is the first thing we need is Jesus.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And so it goes on into verse 11. It says, he is the stone which was rejected by you, the builders, but which became the chief cornerstone.
Hallelujah.
And in verse 12, there is salvation in no one else. And there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved.
Hallelujah.
And it says that we must be saved. It's not that we should be saved. It's not a good idea to be saved. It's not even, oh, you know, that sounds nice. We should be saved. We must be saved. And there is only one way to be saved. And that is under the name above all names, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords.
Hallelujah.
And he only has one name, and that is Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And so in verse 13, now as they observed the confidence of Peter and John and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed.
Hallelujah.
And began to recognize them as having been with Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Having been with Jesus.
That's right.
Saints of God, if you want to create change in the world, you need to be with Jesus.
That's right.
You need to spend time with Jesus.
Yes.
Even people who were considered uneducated, untrained, they were not unbelievers, so then they had power in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And so, saints, we need to be able to go out into the world and have people through living life and doing what you've been called to do, have them recognize that you have been spending time with Jesus. If you go to work, you go to school, you go anywhere, and people can't tell the difference between you and everyone else, you need to spend time
with Jesus.
With Jesus.
Hallelujah.
You need to spend time with Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And I want to end on here. It's Revelation 21. I love the book of Revelation. We should all read the book of Revelation. Beginning at verse 5, it says, and he who sits on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. And he said, write, for these words
are faithful and true.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
The one on the throne, God, is about to speak. And he's making it very clear, that what he is about to say is faithful and true. If God said it, it will be.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
In verse 6 it says, he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha.
Hallelujah.
And the Omega.
Hallelujah.
The beginning and the end.
Yes.
And I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life without cost.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Saints of God, you don't need a good credit score. You don't need a full savings account. You don't need a six-figure income. You don't need the flyest car on the block, the biggest house on the street.
Hallelujah.
If you have Jesus, he has given you the greatest gift of all, and it was free.
Hallelujah.
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 Free.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And it says, he who overcomes will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. Saints of God, do you know you have an inheritance?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You have been offered an inheritance.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
And because you have been offered an inheritance of living water, you too will be his son and his daughter. In whose name? Jesus' name.
Jesus.
Drink of that living water.
Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise you, God.
Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. Thank
you,
Jesus.
I like that it's living water because, you know, there's all kind of water out there.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. There's all types of water, and you don't know what you're getting.
Hallelujah.
And, you know, we had those, I think, did we? Oh, no, that was, yeah. Well, anyway, we had these bottles of water.
Something.
They were $40 a bottle, and it was water. I read the ingredients. You know what it said?
H2O.
Spring water from the brook. But the bottle was real nice. Nice blue. Oh, man, that thing was nice. And they wanted $40 for a bottle of water. And, you know, what came to my mind was in the last days, it said a loaf of bread will cost a day's wage.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, we think about that as we move forward in this economy we have. And God is already preparing his people.
Yep.
And that is why we need that living water.
Amen.
We need the living water of God, the Spirit of God moving upon the
Amen.
Word of
Amen.
God
Hallelujah.
That has been sown in our hearts.
Hallelujah.
That's living water.
Amen.
And when the Spirit of the Lord is working within you, the seed of the word will take root
Hallelujah.
And bring forth
Hallelujah.
Fruit 30,
Hallelujah.
60, and 100 fold.
Hallelujah.
And that's what God is doing. God is manifesting himself.
Hallelujah.
So that is such an awesome word there, Pastor Ralph. And
Hallelujah.
We are so grateful that God has given us his son.
Hallelujah.
So that we can have power, so that we can live out the very word of God.
Hallelujah.
You know, people will yield when the Spirit of God shows up.
Yes. Yes.
They will yield. And that's why our responsibility is to take the anointing of the Spirit of God with us when we go out. And when we abide in the presence of God, when we're spending time in the word of God, when we're meditating on the things of God, it changes what you give off.
Yes.
The presence of God begins to come out of you. You don't even, it's like an old drunk, right? He's drinking, and you know, he doesn't go around saying, oh, I've been drinking. No, you just smell the what's coming off him, right? You see it in his face, you know, you can tell, right? Somebody smoking weed, you know, they come by and the aroma comes out of, you know, it comes all through them. But when you spend time with God,
Amen.
The Spirit of the Lord
Hallelujah.
Is radiating.
Hallelujah.
There's
Hallelujah.
A presence that
Jesus,
comes off you.
Yes.
There's an anointing that comes
Hallelujah.
Off of you. And people will know that
Hallelujah.
You have been with God, that you have spent time
Hallelujah.
In the presence of the
Hallelujah.
Lord. And that's what God has called us
Thank
to
you,
be,
Jesus.
To be
Thank
salt and light
Hallelujah.
In the world.
Hallelujah.
And we need to be salty. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You ever eat seaweed? You ever have seaweed? I'm sure you guys have seaweed. That's some salty stuff, man.
Yeah,
I tell you,
chips.
That seaweed is salty. But it doesn't try to be salty. It is salty because it was in the sea. And when you're in the presence of God, you will become radiant of the presence of God. And that is why you and I need to spend time with God. Thank you for that, Pastor Rob.
Hallelujah.
And now I believe we have the rest of our interview here, and we will see what Sean and
Sandra
have to say.
We are still hosting Back to Church Sunday at the Celebration OC. And now we are ready to hear Sean and Sandra Williams' take on their experience at our church. So tell us, Sean and Sandra, what sets us apart from the churches in the area?
Well, if I'm honestly speaking, I have not visited any other church in the area. And that is because the first time that we came to OCGF, we just stood. We just felt the love of God in a way that we were like, okay, I think this is going to be home. And, you know, for us, that it means a lot because we're moving new to this area, you know, and just finding a place that you can feel the love of God and it truly feels like family. I remember going to Flagging in the park last year, and that was just a few months of us being here.
Right.
And he was out with Pastor Mijo. Mm. And for me, it was major.
You gotta tell him what we were doing.
Oh, they went for a motorcycle ride.
Nice.
A motorcycle ride. Anyone rides a motorcycle.
So it was major for me to just go by myself with my two kids, with our two kids, and just feel like I was amongst family.
Wow, that's great. I mean, imagine, you just come here and you're like, one and done, this is great. I don't need to look anywhere else. I mean, I think that's really like falling in love.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So Sandra says that it has to do with the love that was shown. Yes, that is absolutely true. But I remember one of the pastors offering me a sandwich. And I said, this has to be a church that I come back to.
Amen.
No, but you know, from day one when we came in, I really just appreciated authenticity. I think that's the word that really continues to ring about this church. Authentic worship. And I think that's shown in the relationships. It's shown in the worship. And worship is really how you interact with everyone. So authentic is definitely the word.
Yep. Amen.
And I like that.
Yeah. As well, where I run into people at ShopRite and I'm like, are they going to say hi to me? We're not a church anymore. But we have that here. Right. And it's nice. I don't have to feel like I'm going to be shunned,
right.
You know, so that I do agree. Authenticity is here. Mm-hmm. Amen. And this question is for Sean.
Yep.
I asked this question to Jose earlier. As a man, as a husband, what draws you and keeps you at this church besides sandwiches?
Well, that's a big one. But I think the second one is I'm trying to win a arm wrestle with Deacon Terrence. So I'm just really, I'm here so that I can kind of achieve that. What continues to draw me back? Is really, once again, how the men, like, you know, just being here in the church, how we interact with each other as well. That word still continues to travel over as how we are authentic in how we communicate. It's not like we're trying to, you know, do church. You know, hey, what's up, brother? God bless you. And out the door. Like, the guys really try to get to know each other. And if you put out that energy, if you put out that intentionality in wanting to get to know the brothers, it's definitely coming back. And they're also going to, you know, extend, but it takes two, you know, it's a two-way street. So I see that here. And if you want a relationship with real men, it's here.
Amen. Yeah, sounds like camaraderie.
That's my word.
Oh, yeah?
That is my word. Thank you.
Our last question for this segment. Our theme for Back to Church Sunday is rooted. And this question is for the two of you. Why is it important to be rooted in the body of Christ?
Well, when Brother Jose was talking, I kept thinking about a tree, how a tree is rooted, right? And when the storms come and the winds come, that tree might bend, it might, but it's not going anywhere because of the roots that it has. Yeah. And so that to me is why it's important to be rooted, because if you're not rooted, when the storms come, you're just going to blow away. But if you're rooted, you know, Christ and His Word, when the storms do come, because they will come, mm-hmm. you know, you might sway, you might move a little bit, but you're going to be standing firm.
Preach, preacher.
Amen.
I honestly I can only piggyback off my wife. I think just being rooted and being planted in the body, it allows you to serve and be served. You know, you're bringing something to the table as far as worship, and then that's also being extended to you. I mean, you want to be a part of the body of Christ in an active way, you know, in a way that God can use you to be a blessing to someone else, in a way that someone else can be a blessing to you. Like, you know, that's really what the body is all about. How can we move as a unified body? And that only happens if everyone is doing their part.
Well, we had a wonderful time getting to know Richetta and Jose and Sandra and Sean. And again, thank you for sharing. And if you see them around, please feel free to say hi. And for those who are at home, feel free next Sunday, come out. I dare you to come out and to experience the wind, experience this love and the unity that these two couples here have shared. So thank you. Enjoy your Back to Church Sunday, and we'll see you soon.
Hallelujah.
Well, we know that God is doing amazing things in people's lives all around us. And it's so awesome when we are able to experience that. And that is what we are wanting to see happen in everyone's life. We are here to grow. We are all here to grow. We are all here Amen. To experience God. And no one walked with Jesus without experience. Mm. When the moment you engage Jesus, there was something to experience. Amen. He was always doing something that demonstrated that He was the Son of God, that He was coming down from God out of heaven. And as we interact together as the people of God, we too are experiencing that. And That's you right. can't do that without growing roots. Hallelujah. Each and every one of us needs to grow roots. You know, there are so many people that are in this day and age that they call them church hoppers, you know? Mm-hmm. You know, and it's to me, it's just like what Sandra was saying. When the wind blows, they blow over here. Then they blow over there, and they blow in different directions. Whichever way the wind blows, there they go, off in a whole new direction. But they never actually grow. Mature, they never actually mature. They're the same way now that they were 5 years ago. And they haven't grown, they haven't matured, they haven't even learned much. Because people who tend to move around like that tend to be confident in what they already know. Amen. So they're not really in any one place to actually receive or learn anything. Usually they're there to somehow take away something from somebody else, really. Mm. And ultimately you miss God when you have that kind of mindset and you're rendered ineffective. And you and I, we are called to be like a tree. We're called to be one who establishes roots. And I'd like to go through a couple of verses here before we close out. And the first one here is Exodus 15:11, who says, Who is like you among the gods, O Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in praise, working wonders?
Hallelujah.
God is a God who works wonders. Amen. Amen. And he's asking the question, who is like you among gods? And gods are the really essentially their idols. They're mm-hmm. the things that are man-made, Amen. The things that men set up and worship. In other words, worship is something you invest your time in, something that you depend on, you look to, you're trusting in it, mm-hmm. you're believing in it, so that you can receive whatever it is that that thing has to offer you. And that is a kind of worship that men establish and that we experience. And God is saying all of those energies and all of that effort needs to be directed to me, because ultimately I am your source of all the things pertaining to life.
Thank you.
And God is calling us to seek him, to pursue him. In Colossians 2:6, Paul says, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him. Hallelujah. And established in your faith, just as you were instructed, you were taught. Who is he talking to? He's talking to the church in Colossae. Yeah. So that means that you had to be in church to hear this word. If you weren't rooted in the church, and he's telling them they need to be firmly rooted, then how do you hear the word of God? Amen. How do you experience the word of God? How do you have a model? Because the church is to provide models and role models for people to live out their lives by. So we follow each other as we follow Christ. Isn't that what Paul said? Mm-hmm. Follow me as I follow Christ. Well, we need to gather together for that purpose. Jesus Christ died for the church. The church is not just the body of believers scattered around the world, everybody who believes. That's part of it, but it's really it's believers rooted in the application of the word of God. It's not just the fact that you're a believer. It's those who are operating according to the word of God, where the word of God is the very source of your life. The word of God is the very seed that has been sown, and you are living according to or in harmony with the word of God. Amen. And as the word of God takes root in you, it draws you together. It pulls you. You want to come to church. The word of God will make you want to come to church.
Jesus.
If Hallelujah. You're authentically abiding in the word, you'll want to be around Amen. Other believers. Amen. You're going to be hungry. Amen. It's going to create a thirst that you were talking about. Hallelujah. You're going to be thirsty. You're going to be hungry. And you're going to want more and more of God. And that is what the Spirit of the Lord will cultivate within you. He says, we were instructed, overflowing with gratitude. Are you grateful? Are you a grateful people?
Amen.
When the Spirit Amen. Of God is filling your life, you Jesus. Begin to see all the things that God is doing. Sure, we'll recognize evil, but we'll even all the more be able to recognize, oh, look what God is doing. I see God operating. Amen. I Amen. See God moving. I see God doing things. And that is what gives you more peace, more joy, Amen. More Amen. Patience, more kindness, because Hallelujah. The fruit of the Spirit is being stirred up within you, because you're manifesting or you're having an experience that God is doing something within you that brings you into the presence of God. The more time you spend with Jesus, the more time you'll want to spend in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
You'll
Amen.
Be drawn to the house of the Lord. This is a place where the Spirit of God is cultivated. It is a holy place. We don't allow secular type things to manifest themselves in the house of the Lord. We are establishing a presence that comes from God so that his anointing can flow in the house
Amen.
Of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So that when people come in, they experience God's presence. They experience the move of God. They are liberated from oppression and bondage, and they are able to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. So no matter what time of day or time during the week you come in, the peace of God abides in this place.
Amen.
And this is what is being cultivated in the house of the Lord. And this is the thing that we ought to be cultivating in our own homes.
Hallelujah.
Because we're replicating Hallelujah. The house of the Hallelujah. Lord in our own house. Isaiah 42:8 says, I am the Lord. That is my name. I will not give my glory Hallelujah. To another, nor my praise Mm-mm. to graven images, man-made Jesus. Things, idols. And you and I, we are called to live a life of glorifying God, of praising God.
Amen.
And that's
Amen.
Why we pray. We pray and we say, God, show me your glory. Lord, raise me up, lift me up so that I can see, so that I can hear. And we all go through challenges and difficulties, and there are hardships that we all face. But as we abide in the presence of God, the Spirit of God is manifested, and the anointing of God empowers us Hallelujah. And strengthens us Hallelujah. So that we can accomplish the will of God.
Yes. Hallelujah.
God is able to move mightily in a person's life when we submit to the Spirit of the Lord. And so Jeremiah 17:7 says, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord."
Hallelujah.
Do you trust in the Lord?
Hallelujah.
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 It says you'll
Hallelujah.
Be blessed if you trust in the Lord. Then he says, and whose trust or his confidence is in the Lord. That means you know that no matter what happens, God is going to see you through.
Amen.
Even if it doesn't go the way you think or the way you feel or the way you would expect, we have confidence that God has my life in his hands.
Amen.
We know that the Lord, he will make a way. He will open doors that no one can shut. And he will cause things to happen that otherwise would not happen because our faith and our trust is in the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So verse 8 says, he will be like a what? A tree planted by the water. Why by the water? Because you need water to live.
Yes.
Everything
water.
That's yes. alive or has life in it needs water.
Living
it needs
water.
Living water. Tree needs to be by the water. Amen. So his roots don't even have to go Hallelujah. Too far. He's going to get the nutrients that he
Hallelujah.
Needs.
Hallelujah.
And that's why you need to be near the living water. The house Hallelujah. Of the Lord Hallelujah. Is a source of living water.
Amen.
That's what
Hallelujah.
The church is all about. It's a source of living water. When you come here, the Spirit of the Lord is going to be breathed
Hallelujah.
Upon you.
Hallelujah.
Life is going to be imparted to
Hallelujah.
You. The Word of God is going to be
Jesus.
Imparted to you so that you can soak it up. And the Spirit of God is going to liquefy it so that the nutrients become easier to be absorbed.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. It's Jesus. Like liquid vitamins. You don't have to swallow those big pills. You just drink it down and it just metabolizes into the body. And that Hallelujah. Is what the Word of God will do Hallelujah. In your life. He says it extends its roots by the stream. That's more water.
Hallelujah.
It's reaching out. And it says it will not fear when the heat comes. How many people get fearful when the heat comes?
Mm.
People start wanting to run. People want to hide. They don't want to stay connected. They don't want to stay rooted. But when you're rooted, you can't run. You hold on. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That's what I love about trees. They tell me that when they plant little tree seedlings, one of the things that they do and that they recommend if you plant trees is that you smack them with a newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. They recommend after you plant them and they begin to grow, you smack them with a newspaper every so often, and that will cause the roots to grow deeper. The more you tap them with the newspaper, the deeper their roots will grow. And that's the purpose of the wind and the rain, rocking the branches and the trees, moving it back and forth. It causes the roots to grow deep. So when you go through trials, when you go through trouble,
Hallelujah.
When you have hardships and difficulties, know that you might be getting smacked around a little bit.
Jesus.
But God is going to use it for your good in
Hallelujah.
Order to cause your roots to grow deeper.
Hallelujah.
God
Hallelujah.
Wants you to grow. He wants you to mature. He wants you to abide in his presence so that
Hallelujah.
You can have the manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit of God.
Hallelujah.
So that you can accomplish the very things that God has called you to do. He says, I will not fear when the heat comes, but its leaves will be green.
Hallelujah.
And it will not be anxious in a year of drought, nor cease to yield fruit.
Hallelujah.
We'll say to God,
Hallelujah.
When hard times come,
Hallelujah.
When difficulties come, when you're experiencing drought in your life, keep yielding fruit.
Hallelujah.
Keep
Hallelujah.
Yielding fruit.
Hallelujah.
Don't let the enemy rob you of
Jesus.
Your fruit. Let the Spirit of God be manifested in your life.
Yes,
let the
Lord,
Word
Hallelujah.
Of God come alive in your
yes,
life.
Lord,
like Revelation 21:23 says, the city has no need of the sun or of the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God has illuminated, and its lamp is the Lamb. I pray that Jesus is the lamp of your life. I pray that he's the very filament that is glowing within you that will cause the light of Christ to shine into the world, that the Spirit of God will be manifested in you so that you can accomplish the ways of God, the works of God. In fact, Paul puts it this way in 1 Corinthians 15:58. My beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Say to God, it's worth it to persevere in God.
Hallelujah.
Do the will of God, to do what God is calling you to do. Operate in the Spirit under His anointing. Let God stir you.
Hallelujah.
It doesn't matter if the winds and the rains come.
Jesus.
You might be getting smacked around, but God is growing roots. God is enabling the seed of the Word of God to begin to cause you to rise up, to bring forth fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold. Well, say to God, I pray that you have experienced the wind today, and that the Spirit of the Lord is working in the midst of your life, and that you know that God is a great and glorious God, and no weapon formed against you can prosper when you abide in Jesus, when you trust in the Lord. He will be with you no matter what your situation is. Jesus is in your boat. Row that boat.
Hallelujah.
And make sure you make it to the other side. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. The other side is turning at the other side. Strengthening you. Don't be discouraged. Know that the Spirit of the Lord is with you. God says He will never leave you nor forsake you. He is with you always. And even when times are difficult, even when things are challenging, God is able to show up and manifest Himself in ways that you would not expect. There is healing in the midst. There is deliverance in the midst. There is maturity and growth in the midst. And God can renew your mind and strengthen your heart. He can enable you to overcome obstacles and challenges. And no matter what it is, the Lord will see you through when you walk with Him, when you place your faith and trust in the Lord, when you abide in His Word and apply the principles that He is giving us. God will not allow the Word to return void. It will accomplish what it has intended to accomplish in your life.
Hallelujah.
Live by the Word. Let the Word of God guide you. Let it be the guardian of your heart. The Spirit of God will never let you down. You will not be disappointed, and you will not fail, because God's Word is eternal and it is established in the heavens. And we know that if one part of it were to fall away, heaven and earth will fall away. So rest assured, as long as heaven and earth is still existing, you and I can trust in the Word of God. We can trust in the will of God, in the ways of God. And you can experience the manifestations of God in your life personally, specifically designed for you. God is able to do abundantly more than you could ever ask or imagine, because He is who He says He is, and He is faithful to His word. He stands behind it to perform it, the word of God says. So allow God to do something in your life. Allow Him to manifest someone or something in your life that reflects the kingdom of God. Well, if you've never accepted Christ today, I pray that you would ask Him to come into your life. Maybe you've heard something or experienced something today that has impacted your heart and has enabled you to realize that you need a Savior. Well, I pray that you would come and experience Christ in your life today. I pray that you would give your heart to the Lord today. All you need to do is ask God to forgive you for your sins and to come into your heart, to give you a revelation of the things of God in the Spirit of truth. I know it's challenging and it's difficult, because the Word of God says to those who don't believe, it's foolishness. The things of God is foolishness. But I want to assure you that if it's foolish sounding, it means you need a revelation from God. It means that you need God to show up in your life to enable you to see and understand the things of the Spirit that are happening all around you. Because whether you understand it or not, things are happening to you that you have no control over. And it's because the world is designed on the Word of God. And when we operate in harmony with the Word of God, everything turns around. God will show up in your life. He will make you to be able to understand the Word of God and the things of the Spirit of God. And you will never be the same. I can assure you, you will be changed. You will be transformed. And so if your desire is to know the Lord and to come to know Him, well, we have our prayer team will be down front, and you can certainly come and receive of the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray, oh God, that you would minister to your people, not just here today, but even throughout the week. Let these words ring back through their hearts and their minds. Even as they sleep, let it come back to them, and let it be something they meditate on, that they may come to operate in the truth of your words, that each day, each week, you would provide life to us and enable us to overcome from one day to the next. Use us, oh God, for your glory. Let us be the witnesses to this lost and dying world that you've called us to be. Manifest yourself in our life, in every aspect of it. In Jesus' name we pray, and we surrender ourselves to you, oh God. Heal us, deliver us, set us free. We thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. The altars are open if you desire prayer, and the ministry tables are also open. And I believe there's some food out there. Awakening desire,
burn our hearts with truth. You're the reason.
Yes.
You're the reason we're here. You're the reason we're singing. Open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our praise. Open up the heavens, open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our praise. Your presence, oh Lord, your presence in this place, your glory on our face. We're looking to the sky, descending like a cloud. You're standing with us now, Lord, unveil our eyes. You're the reason we're here. You're the reason we're singing. Open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our place. Open up the heavens. Open it really.